The end of divine discipline is to produce the fruit of peace which results from an upright and righteous life. The end is so great, it is well worth the training along the way. Every Christian experiences the discipline of God. Each must remember, therefore, that God's discipline has love at its heart, wisdom in its plan, and profit as its goal. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest out of thy law. Now, how could we possibly say that a man is blessed when he is chastened by the Lord? Well, if blessing and chastening seems a contradiction of terms, it is only because we have not understood the true nature of divine discipline. Discipline, or chastening, as it is called in the King James Version of the Bible, does not mean punishment. It rather means child training. It may come in the form of suffering or in the form of rewards, but it is always an act of God training His children in holiness. To say the chastened man is blessed is to say a man is blessed when God is ministering in his life. Psalm 94:12 relates the chastening of the Lord to His teaching out of the divine law. So indeed, divine discipline is a blessing in view of the good which comes from it. But what good comes from divine discipline? Hebrews 12:6-11 speaks first of two great benefits, assurance and holiness. Verse 6 speaks of the assurance of God's love, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Verse 7 and 8 speak of the assurance of divine sonship, for if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Verses 10 and 11 speak of the benefit of holiness which comes from divine discipline. He disciplines us for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, let us look a little more carefully at the benefits which come through God's child-training discipline in His believing children. First, divine discipline produces assurance of sonship. Hebrews 12:7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Remember that there is a special word used by the writer to refer to divine discipline in Hebrews 12. It is the Greek term paideia. The term means the education of a child, includes all the teaching, instruction, and training. It is used in the Bible to refer to all that happens in the life of a Christian, which improves, molds, strengthens, and perfects him in Christ. Paideia is used a dozen times in the Greek New Testament. Every time it is used in regards to the work of God, it always refers to God's work in the life of a Christian. Now, God does not do child training in those who are not His children by faith in Jesus Christ. The very fact that one experiences divine discipline, therefore, is a proof that he is a child of God. Suppose I was driving down a street in the city. I saw some child misbehaving and playing with his friend. Well, I would not stop the car and seek to correct the youngster. I would feel no authority to do so because he is not my child. Now, on the other hand, if the child misbehaving was my child, I would be in complete order to stop and correct the improper conduct. Now, God's discipline is a fatherly discipline. He deals with Christians as His own dear children, which they are. Divine discipline is a proof that one belongs to God. What does it mean if one does not experience God's chastening? What if a person can live in sin without seeing discipline? What if one can be a nominal Christian indefinitely without experiencing God's chastisement? What does it mean? Well, Hebrews 12:8 answers, if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So lack of divine disciplines indicates a person is not a true child of God at all, that such a person does not belong in God's family. Oh, thank God that you are under His child training. It proves you are one of His family. Second, divine discipline produces assurance of love. Hebrews 12:6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." Now, three times in Holy Scripture, God states that discipline is a proof of his love. Proverbs 3:12 reads, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son, in whom he delighteth." Hebrews 12:6 repeats that statement, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Revelation 3:19 states it once again, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." The principle must be very important for God to record it three times in the Bible. A philosophy in child rearing became prominent a few years ago, which was in direct opposition to that Bible principle. It held that a child should not be corrected nor disciplined, lest it restrict his freedom to assert himself and warp his development. Well, a few years later, the group of undisciplined youth which grew up showed the error of that philosophy. The Bible is quite clear on the matter of parental discipline. Proverbs 13:24 expresses it this way, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Discipline is proof of love. Lack of discipline is proof of lack of love. God disciplines his children because they are his children and he is their heavenly Father. There is no need to fear the discipline which is ministered because of loving concern for the welfare of its recipient. Third, divine discipline produces holiness. "It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." God's great design is that his dear children should partake of his holiness. The principle is set forth in the Old Testament in these words, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." The New Testament declares that no person without holiness will ever see the Lord. All of the discipline of God in the lives of his children is for the purpose of cultivating holiness in them. Now, no experience of discipline seems particularly pleasant at the moment. The Christian must be aware of its determined end, however, and persist under it. The end of divine discipline is to produce the fruit of peace which results from an upright and righteous life. The end is so great, it is well worth the training along the way. Now let us look back over the journey we've traveled in this brief study. We have seen three aspects of the answer to the question, what good comes from divine discipline? Divine discipline assures the believer that he is God's child. For if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. Divine discipline assures the believer that God loves him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And divine discipline enables the believer to grow in a life of holiness. He disciplines for our profit that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now these three benefits from God's discipline should make us thankful to be partakers of his ministry of child training. What a privilege to be God's believing child.